What do you mean you lost the phone? According to the tracker, it's in your pocket.
Oh, this one? I'm glad you helped me find it.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
Actually, it's good afternoon now because we run our mouth too much before we hit record. I know.
Y'all have no idea how much stuff never gets recorded, and it's probably a good thing.
It's always a good thing. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So today we're going to go mobile.
We just hadn't done a techie one in a while. This was dealing with actual techniques, security, technical options.
Yeah. Yeah. We spent a lot of time recently kind of digging into people's mess ups. And so, you know, it's kind of time to bring it back around and, you know, let's look at some practical things that we can do with technology to improve our security stance.
Yes. Stand tall.
Stand tall. So before we dive into that, we do like to talk about where in the world Donna's going to be. She ain't going to make that a game.
Hey, now, you know, you never know. It could be fun. I'll wear the little sweater and the hat and the glasses. Yeah. But, so my trip to New York was great. It was awesome. And I had a little run down to South Georgia this week. It was a lot of fun. Had a lot of meetings in a very short amount of time. And now I'm trying to get control of my life again before I have the legal administrators group in July. I'm looking forward to that. And then we have big news. That's our big news intro.
Yeah. I liked it.
Okay. Boot camp. Phase two.
We pulled out the dartboard, put a calendar on it, and threw some darts. And we ended up with August 24th, 25th.
Yeah. So we're going to do it again at the Smoke Rise Country Club. And we will... tweaking it a little bit based on our reviews, but overall, we had some good info, and we'll have that available for you out on the information page for the boot camp. So check it out and let us know if you have any questions, but we're looking forward to doing another one, and hopefully we'll knock down some other people with the fire hose. And they'll go, give me! Yes, sir, I would like another! Thank you, sir. I would like another.
Yeah, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody who went to the boot camp, and she said, I am still overwhelmed, just so you know. I get it. You know, it'll sink in.
Yeah. Yeah. I overwhelmed people just in a one-hour presentation the other day. So I know that it is, but it's a way to get it all in there. So hopefully... those of you who will get an opportunity to join us will enjoy the torture. Mm-hmm. So August 24th and 25th, looking forward to it.
And then the URL for that is helpmewithhipaa.com/bootcamp.
Or the HIPAA bootcamp.
Yep, .com.
.com. And then you're somewhere in September.
Yes, in September, I will be at the Unconvention, which is an IT conference. It's fairly new. It's only the second one they've had, and it's only open, I think, to only 100 people. They're trying to keep it really small because most of the things you're doing are going to be workshops and labs and those types of things. So it's not where you're standing in front of a large group of people and talking. They really want to make this intimate and the people who come to get a lot out of it. So if you're in the IT field and you're interested in that, take a look at it. It's at unconvention.io. Got a lot of good speakers there. We actually had a meeting the other night on Skype with some of the people that are are coming. So there's a lot of pretty good people coming to share their information and knowledge. So check that awesome. Out if you're in the IT world.
Yeah, so that gets us to October when I'm at North Metro MGMA. And November, the Georgia Association of Orthopedic Executives is so kind to invite me to their annual conference at Callaway Gardens. So that takes us all the way to the holidays, which is a little scary. I don't know about you, but just the thought that we're that close, that we can have a conversation that close to the end of the year.
I know. I was singing Christmas songs already.
Yeah, I know, and it weirded me out. But let's focus on the Halloween episode. That'll make you better.
Yeah. So, so we do have a listener email that came through this week.
Oh, yeah. Share that one.
So, I did not get permission, so I won't use his name since I didn't. However, I will read it to you. Uh-huh. And it reads, "I have been following your podcast for a while now. And to be honest, I did not like the format originally. This is important stuff. It should be conducted in a serious manner." Got that so far?
You are reading it just like never mind.
Okay. Then he says, "After a little while, I understand the tongue-in-cheek humor in this, and I really appreciate your show."
Yay!
I think this helps me to talk to my clients and prospects to make it more about the patients and not the compliance. Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And then he ends with, "Thank you very much for your work and putting in together the show. You too, David."
I love that part. It was my favorite part. Yay!
"So look a here, Jack. Want you to know." honestly, he brings up a good point in that it is serious and it is important. However, we have found, and I know you mentioned in your reply to him, that if you really want to get a point across, especially when you're talking about something that's serious and can honestly be boring, you do have to make it entertaining.
Yeah.
We learned that even when we were in the Podfest thing in Florida, they actually had a comedian there talking about how to put comedy into your podcast so that people will listen, because you have to have that entertainment value or people are just not going to pay attention.
And we talked about having him on the show. I think we're going to need to do that.
Yeah. So that's why we do that. If I don't think we've had anybody complain about our humor before. So this is kind of funny.
They mostly just don't listen, right?
Yeah. Well, I will applaud the guy because he did continue to listen. Yeah, he did continue to listen until we finally grew on him like a nasty fungus.
Look, that's what you do. I don't do that.
Whatever.
I grow on people. I am an acquired taste, I'll tell you that.
But yeah, you are.
So are you, brother. That's why we get along.
All right. So moving right along into mobile device management. So let's look at what that is and why it is important to our listeners.
Okay.
So for those of you who don't know, mobile device management would be, here's my definition, management of mobile devices. It's basically everybody's walking around with your cell phones, your tablets, and all those things. And from an IT perspective, we are a lot of times looking at your workstations and your servers and things like that. But there are so many mobile devices that are moving in and out of your practice or in and out of your business that a lot of times nobody's looking at what those are doing. And when somebody goes, "Can you give me the Wi-Fi password?" You're just handing it out.
Right.
Do you have your Wi-Fi even set up to be able to handle that in a way that's secure? And that's why if you have mobile devices in your workplace, it's a good idea to, number one, have a policy about that. But number two, you need to decide whether or not you're going to manage those and how are you going to do that. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we did an episode on mobile device policies, but this is the tool that helps you manage the security of those mobile devices. And I kind of had this one written up for a little while. And, as we mentioned before, stuff just keeps happening. But we're fitting this one in primarily because, I mentioned I had several meetings this week, and one of our clients was discussing the fact that they had one of their physicians, and they use a secure messaging app with the hospital, and it's a, you know, rural area. So there's a lot of different information they can exchange on there, and they have a cloud-based EHR. So there's a lot they can do on their mobile devices. And on a trip to Italy, he lost his phone.
Ooh, not good.
I know. Well, what was awesome is he, you know, knew to call the office, and they have been evaluating mobile device management tools, but hadn't pulled the trigger yet, so they could manage them all, you know, in, from one location. And that's what MDM, what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you know, the doctor knew how to log in and get into all of the their Apple account, and they were able to remotely wipe the device
right
away. So that's great. And it's certainly the way that you ultimately want to do it. But the idea is to be able to manage it from one location so that the doctor would just have to call and say, I lost my phone, and you wouldn't have to jump through hoops to get logged into your Apple account, which clearly, as you can confess, is not an easy task.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you ditch Apple years ago and then you have to go back for a developer account, they're like, what are you doing back here?
Yeah. So, and just as a segue there, we are working on developing our Help Me with HIPAA app.
Yeah, for both platforms. We'll probably go to Google first just because, you know, we can.
Okay, well, whatever, Android boy. But the important thing is there's a lot of value in using these MDM tools, mm-hmm. because they do more than that remote wipe, which was great. The remote wipe, awesome. And for example, we have built into our tools on G Suite, is what it's now called. They have mm-hmm. a lot of mobile device management functionality that you can use. And there's Android functionality because, hello, it's Google. And there's also iOS functionality that lets you manage it to some extent. But you don't have necessarily everybody logging into their work email on a mobile device. And that's where that would come into play. So this takes it above and beyond that, mm-hmm. so that you can do controls on. My favorite part is, and this is where it gets tricky on bring your own device, BYOD, because we got to have a TLA for everything. Well, that's a 4LA. but the bring your own device, personal devices for work, or having a company-owned device. And having a company-owned device, there's a lot of value to it if you put these kind of tools on it, mm-hmm. so that you can control what settings they're allowed to use, what apps can be downloaded. You can track the device and know where it is. And, of course, remote wipe. So, I guess it's kind of tricky on, well, hand me your phone. let me be able to track your every move. I know I'm just your boss, but you can trust me.
Yeah.
I know if I work for you, no way I would sign up. No way, Jose.
Oh, you don't realize that. I had your phone whenever we were in Florida. You were asleep.
Oh, you're wrong in so many ways. You don't know how to use my phone.
Okay.
All right. But with all of these mobile devices in play, and the, you know, you also have to worry about laptops in here too. But the biggest issue is people not understanding that that smartphone in their pocket is,
it's, you know, a pooter.
Oh, don't do that. I hate it when that happens. I hate it when people do that. But it is a computer that makes phone calls. It's not a phone that does cool things. So you need to treat it like a computer that can make phone calls. And if you do that, then you worry about the security on it like you do on your computer. And with the ability to say, you know, where is this device? We think we lost it. And I can't tell you, I have used that feature many times.
I know.
My favorite story is when I dropped my phone and behind the...
I know.
I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but I was in the grocery store and I was getting things in the beer section, and I dropped my phone down and it went back in between two 12 packs of beer. And I couldn't find it. I didn't know where, you know, I thought, well, you know, what did I do with it? I thought I just had it and I couldn't find it anywhere. And so I had to, you know, call and have somebody turn on the beacon signal, and you could hear it throughout the entire grocery store, but I still couldn't find it because of the way it was. Then eventually we were watching it because you could track it, you know, once you do that, and you could see on the little tracking thing, it was moving to the front of the store. You could see it was moving. So then I run to the front of the store to see, you know, who's got it. And it's one of the employees of the Publix carrying the phone like, somebody make it stop screaming. Oh, it's awesome when you use it. And I could track it perfectly. The fact that I could track where it was moving in the store, and I knew it was in the back and what section of the store. So... but then you go over to the beer section and you can't figure out. By the time I made it over there, after I went to the front and made the phone call, get over there, the employee had already found it. It's on the move. Somebody's got it. But that's pretty cool that you can see within a grocery store where it's moving. So There's a lot of value to having that ability to track the devices. Now, if it is a work phone, and you have given the person the phone, and as we just discussed on that Rodeo Drive incident, That would have been handy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd been real handy.
What do you mean you lost the phone? According to the tracker, it's in your pocket.
Oh, this one? I'm glad you helped me find it.
I hadn't looked there. But... also controlling the apps that you load, and you know, it's like every day, and we talk about it all the time, there's pros and cons to options. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that's great about Android is options. Mm-hmm. However, it seems like every week I see a new article about malware found in the Play Store. Mm-hmm. And, or in some way, what was that one where they actually built it into the firmware of some of the phones?
Yeah, that's been an issue. And of course, some people will put malware out there, and then they'll put it out for a little bit, and then they'll take it out of the app. And then, right. Then they'll put it back in there again, they'll take it back out. But, you know, that's where, honestly, it's kind of like anything. You have to be diligent in how you use the device, and don't just go out there and start downloading a bunch of stuff. It's the same thing for your computer. You don't just go out there and start downloading a bunch of stuff. But people think just because it's in the Play Store, then, oh, it's got to be legit. No. You know, try to download stuff that's only from the, you know, the editors that are recommended and things like that, or not the editor's picks. That's what I'm thinking about. You know, those developers that have been vetted and the bigger developers and stuff like that. So you got to have a little, you know, use a little common sense, and, you know, always kind of trust but verify when you have apps like that you download.
Yeah, the Apple Store is, it's a lot harder to get in. Mm-hmm. So there's... you know, just to be able to put an app in there, it's $25 one time to put apps in the Google Store, and it's $99 a year to put apps in the Apple Store. So clearly, it's a little bit more complicated just right off the bat, but a lot of these folks, you know, they got the cashola.
Yeah.
But I don't personally...
Another thing you have to watch out for with Android is that there you can actually have it to where you can install things outside of the... Play Store. So that's, you know, if somebody's got a with iOS it's called jailbroken, and with Android it's called rooted, which basically means you're kind of bypassing some of the protection features of the device and doing what you want to with it.
Which we've said in your policy and procedures you should not allow on your networks.
No.
No. But yes, that means you can put all kinds of stuff on there. You can write your own apps and load stuff, and it's not by any means stuff that we would recommend unless you are truly a cybersecurity person like David Benton, who we just interviewed, you know, a forensics expert maybe, because even us with our technical skills, I'm constantly paranoid, and we talked about that before.
Yeah, I love it when you put out, put an app on there and it's like, we need access to your GPS. We need access to your contacts. We need a-. I'm like, why? Why do you need access to all this stuff?
Yeah, I go through and look at the list and most people just go, okay.
Yeah, I look at it too.
Uh-huh. So that's why you need that ability to control what apps can be loaded on the device.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the requirement for encryption, the requirement for a passcode, what kind of passcode. You can manage every bit of that from mobile device management.
Yeah, you can even set up like their Wi-Fi setup. So if you want them to connect to certain Wi-Fi areas, maybe in your business or another business, you can set that up to automatically happen so you don't even have to give out that information.
Right. They don't even have to know. They just know when they show up in that area, it connects them to that network.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's really sweet too. I like that one. When you push the Wi-Fi to them and, hey, you don't need to know the code. Don't be sharing that with nobody.
Yep.
But the tools that are built into that. So there's many, many services that are coming out that do this because, you know, obviously this is not something that we needed 5 years ago even. I mean, mm-hmm. there was the beginning of it. With people like me and you, but 10 years ago, we wouldn't have even needed this.
Yeah.
So I pulled an article from the CIO site,
mm-hmm.
Chief Information Officer, because again, we got to have one of those, that went through mobile device management, affordable MDM options for small business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I included some others that we watch over here and I pay attention to and play around with. But there's some really interesting ones. And I thought, you know, people are always like, give me some advice. Give me some things to look at. So
right
there we go.
Well, before we dive into this, it's also good to mention that you will see another acronym out there that is EMM instead of MDM.
Oh, and, yes.
And the EMM is the Enterprise Mobile Management, which basically just means there's a lot more bells and whistles. And, you know, if you happen to be somebody who maybe has to manage, you know, several hundred devices or whatever, it may be a better option for you to go that route than just the mobile device management route.
Yeah, we're not looking at you're managing thousands of different people and
yeah,
all of that.
They'll tie like into your active data or Active Directory databases and user list and all kind of stuff. So
yeah, and they'll do a song and dance routine on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And
scramble your eggs for you on Mondays. It's pretty awesome.
Indeed.
So yeah, let's look at a list of these. And you know, if you have an IT provider, then there's a pretty good likelihood they probably have a solution. So you may want to talk to them and see if it's something you can integrate with what they're already doing. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, then we were going to give you some options now.
Dun, 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 dun.
So the first one is actually one I like. And the caveat to that is I don't use it, but I like it. you know, that's the cool thing about IT people is we get to try a lot of stuff and, you know, doesn't necessarily mean we're going to use it on an ongoing basis, but we can still like it and try it.
Yeah, we mess around with it.
But this one's from VMware. It's called AirWatch Express, and they have an EMM version, which is just AirWatch.
Right.
But the AirWatch Express version is the MDM version. So it's kind of light, a little lighter on features, but probably for most of the people who listen to podcasts, it's probably where you want to be.
Uh-huh.
And it's built by the same people that are building the nice big one, and it does all the stuff, and it's only a whopping $2.50 a month per device. So that you can't beat that. And, you know, you can put devices on there and everything's cloud managed. So, you know, all your devices are in one place and you can do a lot of things with it. You know, some of the things we've already talked about as far as the remote location and remote wipe, but you can, you know, distribute apps to it. You can set up email addresses from it. You know, we talked about connecting to the Wi-Fi. You can push out your policies and your security and you have reporting. So all those things that you really need are pretty much baked in.
Yeah, that's an Atlanta group. Ha ha.
Never mind. I changed my mind. Let me go. No, but, and it's a, I mean, I looked at it and the thing I like about it probably more than anything is that from a user's perspective, it's pretty simple to use. So even if maybe you're a small office and you don't have IT, I don't think you'd have a problem deploying this and even managing it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different options and versions and stuff. But once you get into these management tools, these MDM tools, you basically load that agent on the device and everything else is controlled on a website.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a major advantage of it, but it also helps you not have to know how to use everybody's different flavor of Android or, you know, the different configurations. You just tell people, load this on there,
mm-hmm.
which is nice.
Give me your BlackBerry.
And so, here we go again with David.
Yeah. So another one you got here on the list is CodeProof.
CodeProof.
Let me mention too, all these things will be in the notes, the show notes, but I guess we'll give the URL out for those people who want to look it up as they're watching or listening. The first one we just talked about is airwatchexpress.com, and mm-hmm. this one is codeproof.com.
Right. So this is one that was on the CIO list, and they're very proud of that. They featured it on their website.
Should be.
But they have the enterprise version as well as the small business version, and it manages a lot of the other things. It's getting some great reviews. And I personally, you know, I studied it a good bit and didn't necessarily think that it was any kind of downside to it. It just, you know, wasn't my favorite mm-hmm. of, you know how you always pick a favorite.
Of course.
Mostly it's because they're so new. It worries me when they're really new.
Mm-hmm.
And the pricing was a little funky to me. It was a little bit more expensive than a lot of these others. But that doesn't mean it's wrong or bad by any means.
Right.
So there you have it. That's all I have on that one.
Check it out for yourself.
Yeah. Look it up. Look it up. But it's $3.99 a month per device. And they're fairly new, so they may have some really cool things coming out. Or you can do $2.99 per year per device. But that was, you know, when you look at AirWatch Express at $2.50, that's a dramatic difference in price. So that's what kind of
So how did they go from $3.99 per month to $299 per year? Is it two different things? Like,
yeah, there's different plans and stuff.
Because I was like, wait a minute, that, even though I'm not good at math, I can figure that out. That's a lot. That's a big range. Okay.
Yeah.
So the next one I actually have used in the past. This one is by Cisco Meraki. And it's a mobile device management solution, and they tie it into what they call the systems manager. And this is free. There's no cost to this. I think it's still free. One thing that I believe they kind of capped at one time, I know when I first started using it, there was no limit to it. So you could put as many devices as you want to on there, but I think they have a limit to it now. Do you know what that is by chance?
No, I don't. I don't think it was one that bothered me or worried me too much.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it's still a pretty good thing. Like, I think it was like 50 or maybe even 100 device limit. It was pretty, it was up there.
Like that. Yeah.
But they did have a limit. They do have a limit on it now, I'm pretty sure. But it has some pretty cool features to it. And I did actually use it for a client. It was a small private school that we used this on where we put it on, actually put it on not just on the mobile phones, but we also put it on the desktops and everything. We put it on everything because there were some cool things we could do with it from the console. So we just had it on everybody's.
Well, and they also are coming out, and I haven't had a chance to look into this, and if I don't know if you have, but they're doing a separate solution that deals with BYOD.
Uh-huh.
So that it has built-in support for that, so that it knows I don't have complete control of this device, and the person on the device has a little bit of control is the way I understand it. But they say that they is built-in support for BYOD, making it easier than ever to securely support user-owned mobile devices without extra appliances, licenses, or VLANs.
Hmm.
So, you know, they have it built in, And I haven't had a chance to play with it, but I thought it was quite interesting that they're worrying about that, which is clearly something we've already discussed is important to evaluate that. And another feature on this one is it has virus protection on the network access control. Mm-hmm. So those unmanaged devices can't get in too much trouble. But it has some features that say, look, we know this is yours and not ours, but you can get all kinds of reports and those kind of things, different operating systems and stuff. So it is nice.
Cool.
Yes.
Now, of course, you can't get any cheaper than free. However, the next one's pretty cheap too. This one's by Hexnode.
Hexnode. First of all, there goes another name that blinded by the light.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you don't know the lyrics to that song, it's Deuce. It's Deuce, people.
Revved up like a deuce.
We see what kind of things we talk about before we record.
Yeah.
But Hexnode.
Hexnode, dude.
Hexnode.
They did that on purpose.
Yeah, it's like the app that I was telling you the name of, and you thought I was saying gay Mexicans, and so Gamex. Okay, so again with the Hexnode, I like the pricing, the $1 per device per month.
Yep,
$12 a year for a basic package. That's really interesting. They are new. Again, they were another new to the party. As we mentioned, there's a lot of them that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is focused only on small business. So they don't. It's not like a mini version of an enterprise. They're saying, let's get small business. And mm-hmm. they're looking at remote workers. Because if you're like me, I have people in different cities. And remote device management, application, all of that kind of stuff. So your pricing, it's very interesting and what they're adding, and there's some additional features that they're working on building into the system. Mm-hmm. They've got supposedly some great support. That's why I'm watching them. Great pricing. And you can create these custom packages within it. So I'm really paying attention to that one. I'm really interested to see what they do and what they end up offering.
We're just trying to figure out who we're going to have on the podcast. Which vendor will we pick to interview?
There you have it. See, David's got his focus on where you would expect it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Moving right along with the interesting names. The next one is Mirador.
Mirador. So, I don't know what that means. It's in Finland, though.
Yeah. That's, I'm sure it means something Finland. Like protect your mobile device or something. That's probably what it means. So this one is Mirador.com. Of course, they have the pricing that I like, which starts at free.
Mm-hmm. Free. free is always good.
Yep.
Free is good.
But their interface looks really cool. I do like the interface look. Like nice and clean. Looks like it's easy to use.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's that truly free is always a good thing. For unlimited devices. So like where we were talking about before, you get free for so many. And then after that, mm-hmm. it doesn't apply. But yeah, it's got a great interface that it has there. My only concern, and we've talked about this before, is it's outside the United States. And a lot of times you don't even know anymore where things go. But, you know, I would want to do a lot more vetting with this organization if I was going to put my level of controlling all of my mobile devices that have access to everything to Finland, you know. So I look into a lot of companies, and it's not to say that I wouldn't be fine with this. I'm just saying it requires an extra step. Mm-hmm. But they do some really cool stuff with asset management, and they got patch management and all kinds of other capabilities. So it's definitely something that should be evaluated if you're in the market.
Yeah. And they do have paid plans too.
Yeah. So. But if you have no funding whatsoever and you want something, some of these free, you know, get in the door free kind of things are perfect to at least make you where you have a little bit of something in place rather than nothing. Something's mm-hmm. always better than nothing.
Yep. And that brings us to the next one, and this hasn't been around a little while, but this one's Manage Engine MDM Plus, and it is at manageengine.com.
Now, that's an MSP tool,
right?
A managed services provider.
Yeah.
So for the IT folks out there, you can check your RMM tool, remote management monitoring tool, and most of them now have an option for MDM.
Yeah,
well, you knew I had to have it one time. So.
Yeah, and most of them, they buy into another platform that's out there. Like I know IBM puts one out called MAAS 360, M-A-A-S 360, and you know some people bake that into their solution. Yeah, I'm not sure which one our platform has on the back end, but you know it does all the enterprise level stuff. It's definitely not as cheap as some of these are, but you know it has a lot of functionality, and it's you know easier for us to manage because it's baked into everything else we're already doing in a single pane of glass.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody talks about single pane of glass.
Yeah, and then the next one's one that I've used a long time ago, back before I even knew really much where they were. They kind of were the first people to throw a free one out there in the App Store, which is Lookout at lookout.com. And I use them, you know, for the antivirus and as well as the mobile device management.
Yeah, because many of these may have an antivirus element to it, but Lookout is my favorite one so far. I've continued to monitor them, but I really like that they're focused on only mobile security. They don't do anything else. That's what the company does. They've been around for a while. It's not just a startup. You're right about how long they've been out there. And recently they were on a news story, 60 Minutes, hacking your phone news story.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put a link to it. It will creep you out because they say, okay, we want you to hack. Then they tell these guys to go hack somebody. But their level of involvement in managing security for mobile devices, I mean, they were the ones that they actually found a flaw in iPhone security, and they let Apple know, and Apple immediately got an update out.
No way, not Apple.
Yeah, don't start it. At least it's not every week.
It's not my phone.
Every week, there's something out there scary on the Androids.
Yeah, won't happen to me. It won't happen to me.
Oh, no. There you go. You heard it here, folks. Just like we tell you not to assume. When he bricks his phone, you know I'm going to share it. So I'll put it on social media. David bricked his phone.
Yeah.
So, and brick your phone means it don't work anymore.
Kind of like you.
Oh, yeah. And you, David.
All right.
Whatever, Jack. So, but Lookout is my favorite. It has a personal version. It is very cool, and it is free.
No way.
And it has antivirus built into it and a lot of other things. So that I'm a big fan of it. We have it on most of the devices. Even my family, I stick it on those devices. They might not even know it. But it has things where it'll like evaluate the apps that are on your phone and tell you if any of them are known to be risky or have vulnerabilities. It has a wide variety of monitors for different kinds of network-based attacks. So one that OCR published something about, a man-in-the-middle attack where, you know, you pretend to be the site and all you're doing is sitting in the middle, taking the information and sending it back and forth to you and the user. So it's got some really cool features in there. And I particularly was interested in the protection from device-based risk because it looks for behavioral anomalies, David.
Nah, that's you. All up and down one side. You're a behavioral anomaly.
Yeah, but it looks for the root or the jailbreak and even just configuration risks. Huh. Hey, this is not a good idea.
Cool.
You know, so it doesn't force it. And so anyway, that's why I get excited about Lookout. Free, low price. There are, as with anything else, there's paid plans,
mm-hmm.
of course. You can always pay. Yeah. But it's reasonably priced, obviously, or you know how I am, as Benton said, turn in the Lexus, because, you know. Yeah. Anyhow, yeah. That's how you know me. I like to have some, start it free, and then let's go from there.
Yeah.
But, and then there's one other, and I thought you, because you really like the Sophos stuff. And,
yeah.
I was surprised when you didn't pick that as your favorite.
Well, I haven't used it at all, like not even looked at it. So can't say,
no, that's what I was
can't
surprised.
Say much about it at the moment, but I am a fan of a lot of the other things, and I guess I use them more in a enterprise level because they're doing some killer stuff on the security side of things with some of their software where it'll, you know, it's behavioral based scanning of for things like malware and ransomware and all that. And it'll literally cut the computer off from the rest of the network when it determines that there's an infection or something going on. So they're doing a lot of cool stuff there. Now, as far as the mobile device side, sorry, just don't know too much about it. But the Sophos or Sophos.
Sophos.
It's actually pronounced Sophos, but everybody, including myself, says Sophos, which if you want a little Trivial Pursuit nugget, that is actually an old Greek word, which stands for wise. So just in case you're playing a game one day and somebody asks what that means, you'll know.
So I am Sophos and you are not.
Okay.
All right, fine. But, you know, that covers, you know, yours is the AirWatch, and, you know, it is the big name in doing it. And now that they have the Express version, it does make it more feasible for all levels of businesses to do it. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Lookout, but I'm also keeping an eye on Hexnode.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's mobile first. So it's not like, you know, VMware bought AirWatch. And AirWatch was, you know, focused on mobile as well. So it's all about, is it an add-on? Is it a company that bought a company, like you mentioned, on some of these MSP tools?
Yeah.
But yes, definitely. Yeah. So there's our list of different tools you could use. They all have, you know, the similar basic features. And they have different direction and different pricing. But like I said, you definitely want to come to the website and get a link and watch the video. David, if you haven't watched it, it creeped me out, and that says a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, they were able to do that with the phone. So it really, they did a demo on hacking somebody's phone.
Cool.
And being able to listen to their conversations, even not on the phone. So it was really interesting, and they made an impression. And I was like, hey, I know them. At first, you're like, hey, I know them. Let me watch this. This is cool. Wait a minute. They know stuff. You know, all of my paranoia is clearly not high enough.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do. Now, do you have to actually physically get your hands on the phone, or do you send somebody a link to something, or how are they, kind of a little bit of both?
Yeah, there's many ways that they can get into the phones, and, you know, there's everybody talks about bluejacking and all this kind of stuff. There's a wide variety, but they actually picked a... Yeah, well, you just got to see it. You got to see it.
All right, you heard it from her, folks.
I'll have it featured right there on the website.
All right, cool. Very good. So that is our show for today, folks. We want to thank you for listening. Donna, do you have anything else you want to add? No. All right, very good. So I do want to remind everybody that we did pick a date for the HIPAA Bootcamp. So that is August 24th and 25th, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 24th. I did have something to add.
All right, I was waiting.
The Stitcher stuff, we forgot to talk about that in the beginning, because Stitcher is an app. We're working on putting our own app out, but Stitcher is an app you can download. You can listen to Help Me with HIPAA, and it doesn't matter what mobile device you use. It works. There's a PC app. There's a Android app. There's a Apple app, and you can also rate us on there.
Cool.
So if you don't use iTunes and you don't, you know, use all, if you're on an Android device, get the Stitcher app, go out there, download Help Me with HIPAA, and rate us on Stitcher. And you can get straight to the show from the website. We've got down at the bottom right corner, you'll see a nice big Stitcher, Get Me Here. So
cool.
Try Stitcher.
All right. Very good. And if there's anything that you would like to see from us or hear from us, you know, different topics and stuff like that, we are open to suggestions. So shoot those over to us. Anything like that, we are always open to discussing or looking into if it adds value to all the other listeners. So just let us know. Also, you can review us on iTunes, share us out on your favorite social media, find us on the web, helpmewithhipaa.com. You can find the bootcamp information at helpmewithhipaa.com/bootcamp or thehipaabootcamp.com. And we hope to see you in August. So for Donna and myself, remember, the HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.